Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
And welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track and organized as usual. And we're your weekly source for performance information. If you want to get in touch with us, do so. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Info@CrushPerformance is the email. So reach out to us there if you have any questions, comments, smart remarks, or a topic you'd like us to investigate. We answer every single message that we receive on the social media platforms. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff Crush, on Facebook, YouTube, and on Instagram. Just search out Crush Performance, and we're just trying to hook everybody up with the world of human performance, talent development, skill acquisition, regardless of what you're doing. Today, a very, very special show, and it's going to be a quick start as we have so much to get to today with our special guest. Crush favorite, Jeff Colvin, will be joining us. He is the senior editor at large for Fortune Magazine. He is a fantastic speaker. He's a radio commentator and also a best-selling author of the Crush must-read book, Talent is Overrated, What Really Separates World-Class Performers from Everyone Else. And today I want to take what we know and understand about great performance and tie it into Jeff's latest book, Humans Are Underrated, What High Achievers Know That Brilliant Machines Never Will. Our place in this world has never been so uncertain. Technology and information are changing the landscape in virtually every aspect of our lives, and everywhere there's humans doing a job, we're under the gun because there's probably a technology creeping up that can do it even better. And not only that, the technology is now allowing us to advance and develop skills and talent like we've never been able to before. So now it's just a matter of understanding kind of where we're at and what we need to do in terms of developing talent moving forward and where we're going to need those skills and talent, because there's a shifting world out there. Look, we know the assembly lines are now all automated and robotic. We look at the service world, we cashiers and bank tellers are almost all but gone. So while the normal state of things changes quickly and dramatically, we just have to get set to understand where we need to go. What talents do you need to develop moving forward to be successful? And how can we use all of this new knowledge to take human performance to the next level? That is the conversation for today, everybody, and I can't wait. It's going to be fast and furious. When we come back, we're going to take a look into the future of human performance. Stick around, everybody.
Hey, this is Bobby Sue Doyle-Hazard, host of Leveling the Playing Field, a podcast truly focused on women in the sports world. I'm so excited to bring this to you. It is for young women who are looking to get into the sports industry and women who are already in their careers, also looking to make a change. I want to put a spotlight on the amazing women that we have in sports now, and hopefully we can all learn a little something. Please make sure to subscribe to my podcast, Leveling the Playing Field, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and with my guys at RadioInfluence.com.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey, and welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here. Listen, if you want to get in touch with us, go to the website, crushperformance.com. You can sign up for our newsletter, subscribe to the podcast, and also reach out to us. Info@CrushPerformance is the email. Today, a very, very important show. As we look at the future of talent and human performance, the landscape is changing dramatically as technology is pushing the envelope of what's happening in the workforce, and information is changing the way that we're using the skills and talents that we now have. We always say to all of our top performers, athletes, business people, teams and organizations we consult with, you look to the past to learn. There's plenty to learn from history, and that's why the historical vantage point of what's happened is so, so important. But also personally, you look to your past to learn and then you forget about it. Take from it what you can so you can plan a good approach moving forward. That's looking to the future to plan. Plan your attack. Plan your approach of what you're going to do next and get you going in the direction you want to do. But you have to live right now. You have to make things happen right now. So it's this give and take. It's this constant state of flux we're always in, and you can't take it too literally. You cannot, by any means, in any way, shape, or form, live in the past. Death sentence. Can't happen. You learn from it, forget about it. You can't live in the future because we don't know really what it looks like. We can kind of plan and guess and extrapolate what's going to happen moving forward based on what's going on right now. But we can certainly make good decisions in the present. Understanding the future is really important. And if we look at the changes that have been happening, even over the last 5 years, the influence of technology and information and how it's changed the landscape, not just in terms of skill development and talent and where we're now applying human skills and talent, it's changing. How technology is now taking over jobs. You look at the service industry in terms of bank tellers or cashiers. You look at the assembly lines in the big automotive plants. Automated technology, computers, robots. We have robots doing minor surgeries. We have robotic arms putting together food like hamburgers and sandwiches. It's a changing world. But on the other side, there's opportunities that also are coming. So as we have this massive layoffs in one industry, there's opportunities going the other way. And we need to plan for this. Not only what skills and talents are we going to need moving forward, but how is it going to change in terms of how we develop skills and talents? Because the more we learn about human performance and how the body works and the landscape of organizational performance, the more we can understand how to better prepare humans to perform at higher levels. And that's exactly what's happening. We see it everywhere. So today, a very, very special guest. We're joined now by Crush favorite Jeff Colvin, senior editor at large for Fortune magazine, best-selling author of the Crush must-read book, Talent is Overrated, and Humans Are Underrated. Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Jeff. Glad to be with you.
Well, our last conversation was epic in the Crush Performance books as we talked about your best-selling book, Talent is Overrated, what really separates world-class performers from everyone else. And today, of course, you have a number of books that you've written, The Upside of the Downturn, Angel Customers, Demon Customers, and the one I really wanted to get into because it's very relevant in today's day and age is your latest book, Humans Are Underrated, What High Achievers Know That Brilliant Machines Never will. An interesting concept, but so relevant, Jeff, in this day and age.
Yeah, it really is. I'm sensitive to this thing, but every day, literally every day in the news, there are a number of stories that are all about this topic. What is technology going to mean for all of us humans in the workforce or not in the workforce, just the way we live our lives? The changes are so profound and so challenging to predict. Everybody's talking about it. Some are worried about it. Some are hopeful, whatever, but it's there.
Yeah, the landscape is changing regardless. If we go back to our conversation regarding the talent is overrated angle, our understanding of great performance is probably better than it's ever been before. As we've studied human nature, we've looked at organizational performance, we looked at cultural and environmental influences. The science has been incredible behind the scenes of human performance. So as we push human performance forward, Jeff, you know, in my world of sport performance, we're kind of at a biological ceiling. I think you'll find this interesting. We're at a point now that where physical development really isn't the challenge anymore. You want to get faster, you want to get higher, you want to get stronger. Just get into a system that will allow us to do that, and we can do it. There's no question about it. So it goes back to a lot of the information in Talent is Overrated about the influence of culture and environment, the people around you. And now that we're harnessing that, we're faced with a new issue, and that's the influx of technology and how technology is changing everything from sport to business to life in general. A real interesting timeline we're in the middle of here.
Yeah, it really is. And of course, you're aware more than most people of how it is even having an effect in the world of sports. You point out that the physical aspect of this has been figured out so well now that, as you say, you kind of wonder where there is left to go. But, you know, it doesn't mean it's easy, but it means we know how to do it. We know how to make people awesome physical specimens who can, you know, do whatever sport they're in. And yet, there's a reason that some people excel more than others. And, you know, that's the frontier now. And it actually has a lot to do with what this most recent book talks about.
Right. Well, you open the book. It's really interesting. The book is a fantastic read for everybody out there. You can go to jeffcolvin.com and check out all of Jeff's great books. But the title is Humans Are Underrated. You kind of started off with an interesting context, and it starts off with kind of a question. I think it gets people thinking, but the question you kind of pose there early in the book is, what will you do better than a computer? That's one question that people are asking. It's not necessarily the right question, but I think that's what we're starting to think based on how the landscape is changing.
Yeah, and you see that question coming up every day now. What will we humans do better than a computer? And the reason it keeps coming up is practically every day you read something about technology doing something better than humans, and it's often something that you never imagined that a machine, that a computer could do, because sometimes it's very high-level work. I see examples of this all the time. For example, one that I just saw recently, some researchers gave a test to some lawyers, 20 very experienced lawyers. The test was they gave these lawyers five contracts. This test, by the way, had been cooked up by some eminent law professors. Gave these lawyers five contracts and said, identify the key issues in these contracts. Very important thing for lawyers to be able to do. Then they gave the same test to some software, some artificial intelligence software, with the same assignment. Just read these contracts and identify the key issues. Well, the human lawyers did well. They identified 85% of the key issues in the contract. But the AI software did better. It identified 95% of the key issues in these contracts. And there's more, because the human lawyers needed 92 minutes to do this task on average. The AI software did it better and did it in 26 seconds.
Wow.
So here's something where the computer is not just cheaper and faster. It's cheaper, faster, and better at a task that requires 3 years of postgraduate education before you're allowed to do it, and a task for which humans get paid a lot of money, but they're not going to get paid for it much anymore because the computer does it better. And so then you say, well, my gosh, you know, what's going to be left for us? Anyway, that's the latest example on my mind. But there are many such examples.
Well, there sure are. And this sounds like a technological shot across the bow here. Maybe a warning shot for everybody to start thinking forward. We're talking with Jeff Colvin, senior editor at large for Fortune magazine. He is daily on CBS Radio, best-selling author and speaker as well. Jeff, it's interesting because we look at how technology is advancing at such an incredible rate. We have, as you mentioned, that story right there is alarming to me, but we've also seen examples of robots doing minor surgeries or guiding us through. Of course, one of the topics that I've heard you mention before is the self-driving cars and the impact of self-driving trucks and what that's going to have on our workforce. If you look at how many American men are relying on that as their incomes, and you talk about clerical work, it's the number one job for females as an administrative assistant, and truck driving is the number one job among men, 2.9 million in the U.S. The landscape is changing before our eyes, and that's just a few examples.
That's right, and those particular examples, of course, are quite alarming to a lot of people, because you know for sure that most of those jobs are going away, and you don't know exactly when, but you know it's not terribly far off, right? It's not a generation away. It's going to be happening, not all at once, but it's going to be happening much sooner than that, and it's millions of people. And so what are they going to do?
Right.
And that's, it's really coming up a lot. And it's, it is truly alarming to some people. You have to decide, how fast is this going to advance? There's a lot of debate on that.
Right. Well, you mentioned something I thought was interesting, a term that I think is going to be maybe gaining popularity, at least frequency, in today's nomenclature, technological unemployment. It's a term that I think it's happening before our eyes and at an alarming rate. You mentioned the lawyer, that the program for the lawyers.
Yeah.
That is incredible. I mean, for my brother's a lawyer. I'm going to have a call and say, hey, man, you better brush up on your, I don't know, housekeeping skills or something. I'm not sure what I'm going to give him a hard time for, but that's alarming. But you also mentioned in an interview that I saw a while back, the platform Narrative Science. I mean, this one to me is really, really intriguing, where software is actually writing articles, intelligent articles, and we're just at the beginning of this technology.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Some of what you read in the news, whether it's in a newspaper, if you remember what those were, or online, some of that news today is being written by computers, not humans, and you may not know it. The technology that does this isn't great yet. It's not doing anything terribly complicated or sophisticated, but there are certain types of stories where it actually can do a decent job. Some of them are financial stories. When a company reports its financial results for the quarter, the technology does a pretty good job of writing that up. Similarly, there are sports stories. There's software for writing sports stories, because when you think of all the data that's available about a baseball game, for example, the software can look at all that data and put together a description of what happened in the game. And they're not going to give you a lot of color, but the software can also see what the weather was that day and can make some references to that, the size of the crowd. It can do a decent job. And the most, it's not great, but the other thing that we must always remember, I even fall into this trap myself, but we must always remember, the one thing we know for sure about technology is that it never stops getting better.
Right.
But when we look at its limitations today, those are not inherent limitations. Those are just the limitations today. It's going to get better.
Jeff, and maybe that's the scary part, right? We're trying to get our heads around this. So I'm going to tell you a little story here. You just made me think of this. Talking about technological advancements and how much better it's getting. So I'm a big Aliens fan. I remember seeing the first Aliens as a kid on a rented VHS machine with a rented tape from the video store way, way back in the day. That ages me a bit. But on Aliens 2, if everybody remembers this movie, if you haven't seen it, I remember being incredibly fascinated when Sigourney Weaver, her character was Ripley, wakes up in the hospital of her coma, and the director of the big business guy is calling on the phone. And the phone was a video screen. And she winds up touching the screen, turning it on, and talking to this guy through the through the television screen, talking to him face-to-face. And I remember as a kid sitting there going, holy cow, man, she can actually see the person she's talking to. How cool is that? And my goodness, look where we're at today. And I still think of this from time to time and chuckle. But when you talk about technological advances, if we look at how quickly it and how powerful it's getting in such a short time, that might be a funny example.
It's a very good example. And yes, today you think nothing of it. Not only do you have the video conversation, you don't have it on a big screen necessarily like it was in the movie, meaning a sort of regular sized TV screen. You have it on your phone screen, and you can do it from anywhere on the planet. And if you're in St. Petersburg, Russia, and you want to have a phone chat with somebody in Rio de Janeiro, you just do it, and you don't even think much of it. And when you think about that, it is unbelievably astounding.
Yeah.
And it's a great example, because it reminds us we should never look at the limitations of technology today and think that represents the limitations of technology. We all fall into that trap, even I do, but we've got to avoid it.
We're talking with Jeff Colvin, the senior editor at large for Fortune magazine. Well, Jeff, listen, it's infiltrated almost every aspect of life. And, you know, you mentioned sports and baseball. If we look at NFL football and the data we have on those players and the tracking in Major League Soccer and European soccer, maybe even more so than any other sport, the data they collect in their players is incredible. But maybe right now with the MLB playoffs going on, this might be a real pertinent example. If we look what's happening in baseball in terms of the numbers, but not just that, Jeff, the technology we now have in terms of just balls and strikes. This has never happened before, but sitting in our living rooms, we can actually see if the umpire made the right call or not. I mean, talk about pressure on the umpires, but now there's talk about, hey, are we even going to need umpires in the future? Again, just another example of the power of technology here.
Yeah, it's another example, and it's a really good example to think about, because let's think about the role of the umpire. To some extent, the umpire has some responsibilities that require what we would think of as deeply human abilities. And that has nothing to do with calling calls and balls and strikes. It has to do with breaking up fights and, you know, deciding which player to eject because of egregious behavior and so forth. But calling balls and strikes, deciding whether somebody is safe or out, deciding whether a ball is fair or foul, all of that is totally mechanical work. And the reality is there's no reason that a human being should be doing that work if the technology has advanced to the point where it can do it reliably. Now, we may want humans to be doing that work for a while longer, because as humans, we may want someone to be accountable for the decisions. But the truth is, I am pretty confident that technology can call balls and strikes better than human umpires today.
Without question.
And yeah, and so why? Why do we need them? Well, only because of tradition, and we want someone accountable. But, you know, the day's going to come, I think, when the officiating of a baseball game is going to change radically. And it's not hard to see it happening in other sports as well. But I think baseball more than others.
Yep, I think I agree with you there. Baseball has been influenced like no other sport. Though there's been changes in other sport, baseball, what we've seen over this last season alone is remarkable in terms of the influence of information and technology. Jeff, we have to cut out for a quick break. If everybody can stick around, we're going to continue this fantastic conversation as we talk about talent, talent development, the future of skills and skill acquisition, and where we're going to need people, with Jeff Golvin, the senior editor at Fortune Magazine. Right after this, stick around, everybody. Much, much more to come.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Crush Performance. Jeff Crochelle here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. We're your weekly source for performance information. Listen, if you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, get to us. Love them all. We answer every single message that we get. And I want to thank everybody for the emails and tweets and direct messages that we've gotten over this last week. Some really, really good stuff as fall sports coming around. Everything from, you know, parents of 6, 7, 8-year-olds to developing high school athletes to coaches and even pro athletes and pro staff writing into the show. Much, much appreciated. It makes for great dialogue, and it also gets us thinking about the content we need to be presenting on the show. So if you have any ideas or a topic you'd like us to investigate, please let us know. We may dedicate a segment or an entire episode to your idea. Heck, we may have you on the show. We've done it before. We've had our listeners write in with incredible topics or incredible thoughts, and we've had them on the show to stir up the discussion and get us all thinking about what we should be thinking about. Well, today's no exception, as we are visiting with Crush favorite Jeff Golvin, the senior editor-at-large for Fortune magazine and best-selling author of the Crush must-read Talent is Overrated, What Really Separates World-Class Performers from Everyone Else. And today's sort of focus, his book, Humans Are Underrated, What High Achievers Know That Brilliant Machines Never Will. There comes a point where technology and information is really pushing the envelope, and now we see it changing the landscape in terms of jobs and what we're going to be doing moving forward, in terms of human talent, we have to refocus. We're now using technology and information to change how we train our athletes. And I think that's why we're seeing such an unbelievable advances in human performance across the board in every sport. And we're just beginning. We're only getting better. But there's an upside to the downside. So as we lose some jobs and, you know, as talent in sport and academics, music is advancing at rapid rates, we also have to look at the other side. Jeff, thanks for staying on over the break. There's an upside to the downside. I guess it kind of goes back to your book, The Upside of the Downside, Management Strategies for Difficult Times. Everybody's going to have to manage themselves now. But Jeff, do you think we've learned enough over the past little while as to how drastically and quickly things are changing? Have we learned enough to really get an understanding of what we should be thinking about moving forward? What skills should we be focusing on? Obviously, computer skills, coding and computer and technology is a huge area of growth where, as we mentioned earlier, some of the real important jobs that we've seen in the past who employ tons of people, office work, bank tellers, truck drivers, they're disappearing at rapid, rapid rates. And when automated trucks come into play and automated cars, they may disappear altogether. So is it fair to say as the landscape shifts one way, there's going to be other opportunities that come about somewhere else? We just have to be prepared for it. Do you agree with that kind of sentiment?
Absolutely. And this is really important to remember. The whole history of technology for the past 250 or 300 years has been that advancing technology always eliminates jobs. Mm-hmm. But it also makes possible the creation of new jobs. And on average, those new jobs are more productive and better paying than the jobs they eliminate. And so over time, we have had greater employment and rising living standards. The economic miracle of the past 300 years was made possible by advancing technology. And it eliminates jobs, but it always creates more jobs, and they're better jobs. That's the history. And so, you know, until a few years ago, this whole topic that we're talking about, this whole conversation we're having, wasn't really relevant mm-hmm. because economists felt that they knew how this works, right? Technology, eliminates jobs. But on the whole, it's a good thing. More people will be working. They'll have a higher standard of living. What's significant is that now, for the first time ever, technologists, highly informed people, economists, executives, well-informed people are not so sure that the historical pattern is going to hold.
Oh, really?
I have now asked various audiences of CEOs. Let me remind you of the history of technology and creating jobs and raising living standards and so forth. That's the historical pattern. When you look at today's advancing technology, what do you think? Is the historical pattern going to hold, or is this time different? And until a few years ago, I know what the answer would have been. You know, at least 95% of the hands would have said the historical pattern is going to hold. Mm-hmm. When I've asked this question now, it is typically 50-50. And in some cases, there are even more people who raise their hand to say, this time is different. That is unprecedented. And so that's why, for the first time, even well-informed people, even the experts, some of them, are worried about technology eliminating jobs faster than it creates them.
Wow, an interesting time. We're talking with Jeff Colvin, senior editor-at-large for Fortune magazine, author of the great book, Talent is Overrated, and our conversation today, Talent is Underrated, What High Achievers Know That Brilliant Machines Will Never Know. Well, maybe this takes us to the turning point here, Jeff, that it's maybe more important now than ever to ask the right questions as opposed to, what we're going to do moving forward. So going back to our original question, what will you do better than a computer? Maybe that question is becoming more relevant than ever. And in context, do you think that is the direction we need to go? Because if we look at the number, and it's such a great concept, your book, and this is where we tie in, I believe, all the information on talent is overrated. Cultural performance, organizational performance, personal human performance. We understand that. We kind of have a good idea. We need to tie that now into areas where human beings are going to really strive with the use of technology moving forward. It's quite a conundrum we're in, but I think there's a path moving forward. But you've just thrown a kink into it with this statement that CEOs are concerned about the future.
Yeah, they are. A lot, because a lot of them are looking at their own businesses and saying, you know, look, in my business, I can see that we're just not going to need as many people as we used to. And I don't know what those people are going to do. But to get to something you referred to in what you just asked, I do actually see a way forward here. I do see that there is a way for humans, us poor humans, to be really economically valuable, even as technology eliminates more and more jobs. And the high-value skills are increasingly the skills of human interaction, mm-hmm. human interaction, managing the relationships that take place between humans, especially relationships that take place in person, face-to-face. But not entirely. It's managing the relationships that are between human beings. The skills of managing human interaction are increasingly the high-value economic skills, and they are not skills that are typically taught in school. This is a really revolutionary change, because the way we have made ourselves valuable through all the tech revolutions of the past 300 years is by getting more education, acquiring the skills that you can learn in a classroom, learn from a book, and making ourselves better. So we've got higher and higher levels of education. Well, for the first time, that's actually not the path. I mean, we still have to get very high levels of formal education. That's mm-hmm. important. But the high-value skills are going to be, on top of that, skills of human interaction, managing how we relate to one another. And you don't learn that in school.
Right. No, very, very interesting concept. So here's maybe a question I want. I wrote this down at the very start of our conversation here. I just wrote down the word music. When you were talking about the machines picking out the decisions for these lawyers in these legal matters, I'm thinking, man, okay, so that's pretty cut and dry, all right? Maybe picking the data out of a baseball game or a football game or a basketball game, that's pretty cut and dry. But is a machine ever going to be able to make music like the Boston Philharmonic, or, you know, like, is it ever going to have the feel, like the ability to create mood like somebody coming out of Juilliard? You know, just as an example, would that be a good example in your mind right now?
Well, that kind of thing comes up a lot. And here's what people need to know. Computers are being programmed already. Software is being developed already to write music. And for that matter, software is also painting. And people say, well, but it can never really be great music or great art because only people can do that. Well, I tell you, the software that is writing music today is writing music that I don't think anybody would say, you know, this is better than Beethoven, this is better than Bach. But when you compare it with other music that's being written today, a lot of people can't tell the difference.
Right.
Similarly, painting, you would think, well, but how can that, you know, can't really do art. Well, one of the auction houses is holding an auction of computer-generated art because they think it has some artistic merit and that people will bid for some of these paintings. Now, you know, you may say, well, it's not great, though. Look, you can tell. A lot of people can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is the point I was making earlier. The current limitations of the technology are not the inherent limits of the technology.
Yeah.
It's going to get better. And so even in the creative realm, writing music, painting pictures, creating recipes, that's another thing that technology, IBM had got its Watson software to create recipes, and some of them were great. You know, so that is going to be also increasingly done by machines. But of course, those things, for the most part, don't require human interaction.
Right.
You can write a symphony or paint a painting all by yourself in a room.
Okay, I like it. I think I'm seeing a real clear trend here, Jeff. Great conversation today. We're talking with Jeff Colvin, senior editor-at-large for Fortune magazine, best-selling author of Talent is Overrated, and our topic today, Humans Are Underrated, What High Achievers Know That Brilliant Machines Never Will. You talk about the high-value skills, and I think this is where we need to start really focusing our efforts now, things that require interpersonal interactions. Human interactions, empathy, things like maybe leading, building relationships. So here's some stats that I pulled out of some of your work, the interpersonal needs and employment. So we've seen tremendous losses in jobs like transaction jobs, like we all seen the automatic bank tellers. Bank tellers are slowly, and my wife was caught in that world. She's a bank manager, and she's seen some of her longtime employees let go because of technology. And we've seen it on the assembly lines as well in terms of production. Huge, massive losses in jobs in those areas. But when it comes to like doctors and teachers, where we actually have to have those personal interactions, the number of jobs there is risen incredibly. So does it make sense, Jeff, now to really start focusing on areas moving forward and maybe talking to our children more about these high value skills and these areas that are going to require these interpersonal interactions?
Yes. The answer to all of that is yes. And I hear a lot of this from people when I go out and talk about this. One of the things everybody thinks of is their children. You know, what are the skills they're going to need? I know people who, especially people in the world of technology, who have little kids, you know, age 5 or so, who are saying to me, you know what, I don't think my daughter is ever going to need to learn to drive.
Right.
You know, it's just not even going to be relevant. But they think, you know what, they are going to need to learn these skills of human interaction. And in fact, I've even talked to people. I talked to a guy who was a CEO of a software firm, a very successful, big software firm. And he was talking about his own kids. And he said, you know, he said, it's classic in our house. He said, I'm always telling my kids to take these coding courses, you know, software writing.
Yeah.
He said, my wife is saying to them when we're, you know, out at an event or something, is saying to them, you see that person over there? Go talk to them. Is urging them to develop the interactive skill, the human interaction skill. And that's exactly what we should be doing. By the way, on that topic,
yes,
you know, I said that's not what you learn in school. Well, actually, we are now beginning to see some schools change their curriculum to include this.
Thank goodness.
To actually start trying, to start helping kids develop these skills.
All right, well, that's the segue right into my next question. You should look at my scribbles on my notepad here. Education, curriculum's behind. We need to react because if we look at how fast technology, I mean, if we go by the numbers that you mentioned, that technology is getting twice as powerful every 2 years. This is an exponential curve. We're so far behind in our curriculum. Look, our curriculum and our schooling still in the dark ages if we compare to where technology is.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so we see schools starting to change this now. For example, many of the top business schools are changing their curriculums. So they're figuring, for example, there are certain courses, certain subjects like accounting, corporate finance that you have to take. You got to have this knowledge. But you know what? You don't need to get a bunch of people physically together in a classroom X times a week to do this. because those are the classic things you can learn from a book.
Mm-hmm.
So that what they're telling their students is, you know what, study it in the book, do the exercises, take the test, and if you need to talk to anybody, we have professors here, you can email them, call them on the phone, or go to their office, whatever you want. But you don't need to go to class three times a week to do these subjects. Just get them done, you know. What they're replacing that with is high-fidelity simulations of human interaction.
Wow.
So, for example, they will have a student make a presentation to a board of directors, and they will typically get alumni of the school who really are on boards of directors to come be the simulated board, and then they will critique that student on how well they did. Or they'll have the student interact with some venture capitalists. Again, alumni who really are venture capitalists who will come in and do this. So they are changing their curriculums to focus on the skills of deep human interaction, because they know, those schools know, that that's where economic value is increasingly going. Now, it should start earlier than graduate school, obviously.
Yeah.
And it is doing so. And in fact, there is a program called Roots of Empathy, which helps kids develop empathy, which I believe is the foundational human skill. It helps kids develop empathy starting in elementary school. And it's a Canadian program. Roots of Empathy is a Canadian program, and it is just terrific and being adopted by more and more schools.
Well, that is the upside for sure. Jeff, final question for you. Thank you so much for spending so much time with us here today. Fascinating conversation. Let me ask you this. Let's go back to your incredible work on the book Talent is Overrated, and let's draw it right into what we now know from humans are underrated. Would it be safe to say, from my perspective and just, you know, looking at all this work, that the rules and the formulas, I guess formulas would be the word to use, that we've understood now and outlined in Talent is Overrated are pretty constant? I mean, those haven't changed much. The way we're developing people might change because of technology. You just mentioned a great example there, but those haven't changed. We now just need to repurpose those into this new world that we're discussing under humans are underrated. Does that make sense?
That's exactly right. And Jeff, you have made an important point that I hope more people can understand. Because when we're talking about the skills of deep human interaction, an awful lot of people think, well, those are things that you're just born with or not, right? We always say, oh, you know, he's a natural people person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a natural leader, stuff like that. No, it isn't true. These are not traits that you're born with. These are skills that everyone can develop. And the way we develop these skills is the way we develop every other kind of skill, which, as you know, is the subject of the previous book, Humans, Talent is Overrated. You know, those principles of what the researchers call deliberate practice, that's how you get better at anything, including these skills of deep human interaction. And in fact, those skills are being trained today using those same techniques. By the way, some of the organizations doing the very best training are in the military.
Mm-hmm.
U.S., Canadian, and British military are training these skills of human interaction today very effectively. Others are doing it too, schools, companies. So, yes, you're right. And there's absolutely right, and it's important. There's one other point I just wanted to make.
Absolutely.
You know, we often talk about sports. You know, we had talked earlier about the enormous volume of statistics available for analysis. And, of course, we are all very familiar with the way baseball was revolutionized by these analytical programs. But it's really important to remember when you look at Theo Epstein, who, you know, revolutionized the Red Sox and then, you know, revolutionized the Cubs. He, you know, and is often thought of as the master of the statistical analysis.
Mm-hmm.
What he'll tell you today is, you know what? Yeah, we have to do all that. But he says now what makes all the difference is understanding how the players react with their teammates at a human level. And he said that is now his view of the difference between winners and losers. So he's coming to the same conclusion that we've been talking about this whole time.
Almost full circle. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing if we look at it, Jeff Colvin? Listen, we could talk for another hour. This has been an absolute great conversation yet again. Jeff, really, really appreciate it. And those closing comments about Theo Epstein and the human factor, I think that sums it up absolutely perfectly. Jeff, thank you so much for your time today. Much, much appreciated. We'll look forward to the next time for sure.
Always a pleasure, Jeff.
Okay, there you go, everybody. Fantastic discussion with Jeff Colvin. What are you going to do moving forward? What should we be focusing on? How are you going to prepare your kids, your students, your team, your friends and family for what's on the horizon here? Because it's changing and it's changing quickly. And we've just got to be able to change with it. And understanding the fundamental concepts of talent, talent development, skill, and skill acquisition are going to be more critical than ever because it's changing at such a fast rate. We're also learning. The good news is we're learning at a really, really fast rate as well. So great conversation today. If you want to go back and listen again, go to crushperformance.com. You can get the podcast there. Also, sign up for our newsletter. We're just hooking you up with the world of performance. You can get access to all our archive shows and all the great guests we've had in the past. Speaking of great guests, coming up next week, we're going to look at talent development from a different angle. Just like leaders in sport like to reflect and look at other sports to get ideas on development and top performance, well, we have to do the same. We like to look into other genres and other areas of development and performance to find out what's going on. And next week, we're going to take a good hard look at the music industry with our good friends from the up-and-coming band, The Whale and the Wolf. These guys have made a ton of progress in the last few years, but it has been a process of development. A lot of the research on talent development, it revolves around music and how musicians get great and how the great musicians get really good. Bohemian Rhapsody is another classic example. Science can't explain how Freddie Mercury was such a great performer, a great musician. He did things, it seemed naturally, that nobody else was doing at the time or maybe even could do or even to this day. Why? We want to know why. And we're going to dive into that next week with our buddies from The Whale and the Wolf as we dig a little deeper into the secrets of human performance and talent development. So we're going to look forward to that. Have a great, great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
Do you love college football? Of course you do. And there's no better place for your college football conversation than right here on Rush the Field. I'm Scott Seidenberg, and alongside my co-host, veteran coach, scout, and consultant Chris Landry, we're going to break down the college game from all different aspects. Whether it's breaking news, big-time matchups, or just arguing about the rankings, Chris and I will have it all covered. So join us on Rush the Field with me, Scott Seidenberg, and Chris Landry. Available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.